This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by Ion Digital, providing secure, compliant ecosystems you can trust. That's Ion Digital. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Kevin Davis.
On today's show, we're bringing back a returning guest. Name of the company is Super League Gaming. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol SLGG. With us to bring us up to speed today is the company's CEO, president, and chair of the board, Miss Ann Hand. Ann, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you know, it's wonderful to have you back. Let's dive right into it. What is the metaverse?
Well, it's a good question and timely. You know, to me, I really look at the metaverse and this transition we're moving through into more of a 2D internet or immersive web, and then transitioning more into one that's more 3D, as really, you know, we're on a journey or a continuum here. And so while I think there was a lot of perhaps a little too ambitious of hype when Meta, formerly Facebook, put out some really aggressive timelines a year or two ago with their rebranding about probably the more extreme state where you're living in a fully virtual world with a headset, and there's interoperability between all of the aspects of your life, from your office to shopping to cultural arts events to hanging out with friends. You know, we see that what Super League has done is really built a set of tech and capability that can hold the hand of brands and our trusted partners as we first just step them into Web 2.0 and 2.5, which is really about starting to leverage technology that already exists. It's been around for years, that really enables brands to create more of these immersive experiences or 2D-like environments, which make people bring their own avatar into worlds and interact with brands in very different ways than the static internet that we've known for the last 20 years. So it's kind of like a hybrid between the old internet and in real life or physical experiences, in a way to kind of create something that's a little bit more customized and personalized. And so it really allows all of us to start creating experiences on screens that feel much more intimate and personalized.
What makes your company so special in relation to the metaverse?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts first with the fact that we have been working in this broader category and space for 8 years. So we actually understand it very well. These types of virtual world or kind of immersive 2D engines started in gaming. But it's kind of a misnomer to say Super League is a gaming company. It just so happens that our roots are in these gaming platforms where this tech was first being used. And in our case, what we focus on are what we call these open world gaming platforms or virtual world platforms. They're gaming platforms like Minecraft and Roblox and now Fortnite, and increasingly you'll hear about other types of virtual world engine or platforms like Decentraland or Sandbox or Sepeto. There's lots of them that are emerging. But we really focused first on where we saw the under 18 gamers wanting to hang out most. And they like these 2D world platforms because it's not just about you being the player. You can also be the creator, the inventor of the game world. Or you can just go there and hang out. It's kind of like a digital cul-de-sac or playground. So I often say to brands and even investors, you know, maybe don't think of it as gaming. Maybe it's easier to think about it as the next generation of social media. Because instead of you just being in an environment like an Instagram or TikTok, where yes, you can create and interact, this is kind of taking it a step further, because you're actually inside this virtual world kind of, you know, in a much more interactive way. Right now, there's stats out there that say that on average, under 18 are spending about 7.5 hours a week in these immersive worlds, versus 5.5 hours a week on traditional social media. So again, I see this as just the next evolution of people having kind of digital expression, digital community, and digital play. Now, Super League, what's powerful is we've built a pretty powerful engine of tech and capability that has allowed us to amass a large set of these creators who like to make game worlds and experiences. We have hundreds of them that are on our platform. And by extension, when you add it all up, that gives us reach to 100 million unique players or gamers a month. I mean, those are daunting numbers. So we have massive scale and reach, and we have this beautiful interconnected solar system or universe of all these hundreds of mini game worlds that are different genres of games and experiences. So what it means for us, the primary way we make money today, is we are bringing brands into those game worlds in a very native, intrinsic way. So maybe your game world looks like a park or a cityscape. We can have Barbie's Dreamhouse pop up on a corner one day. And you get to choose if you want to go in and play in Barbie's Dreamhouse and DJ on the roof deck and swim in the pool and do all kinds of things that aren't traditional video gaming, right? They're much more about self-expression and role-playing. But by having that universe we've built with this tech and capability backbone, we have this massive reach, and we can bring brands in a really authentic way to get to this hard-to-reach audience that they're not watching linear TV. You know, they're cord cutters, they're ad blockers, and this is where the audiences move. They're there. They're already there in big, big amounts. And so we're just creating a channel, a new marketing channel for brands. What I would add to that, though, is why I'm excited about where the company is going. I've never been more excited about our future, is that this tech and capability we've built and are applying to these existing massive game platforms like Roblox and Minecraft, we are now applying into these other virtual engines. And those virtual engines, in some cases, talk to older demographics. And what it starts to do is change the business model for the company, that really we can reach all kinds of audiences who want to achieve all kinds of things in these virtual worlds. Anything you can do in real life, go to an art museum, go to a soccer game, go to a concert, there is a place for its virtual twin in one of these digital worlds. And that's going to really change the company as not just being somebody who's, while roots were in gaming, we start to become a leading company in helping people publish and market and monetize their great brands and IP in a completely different way going forward as part of their greater digital strategy. So we almost become like holding their hand and taking them in to Web 2 and 3. For their brands.
Wow. No, I love it. You know, what do you got in the hopper in terms of acquisitions and partnerships?
Well, first of all, we just announced an acquisition about a month ago of a company called Melon Studios. It was a local Roblox game experience studio that was small and nimble and was doing some very signature projects that had a lot of synergy in our pipeline. They did a really cool promotion last year with Chipotle, where in the experience they built inside one of the Roblox game worlds, it was a haunted house around Halloween, and if you found the secret word burrito, and you download the Chipotle app on your phone, and you typed in burrito, you got a free burrito in real life. And it was a brilliant program to show how you can build awareness and engagement, off the charts engagement for your brand in these worlds, but you can also prove that it can convert into foot traffic and real life sales. So it really shows that this new marketing channel can kind of do it all for a marketer's objectives. Very similarly, you know, when we did the Barbie Dreamhouse example in October, as well for 30 days, we drove 60 million visits to Barbie's Dreamhouse. And the average dwell time was 7-8 minutes. So that's kind of like product placement again on steroids. It's the replacement to what the Saturday morning cartoon spot used to mean, for when you were trying to reach, you know, young audiences. So Melon just was a really exciting way. It did a few things for us. Again, pipeline was powerful. Right now we're doing a pretty big program for Clark's. They're creating a virtual twin experience for Dave and Buster's. So lots of, of neat synergy, some really exciting things coming up from the music industry side about us bringing concerts and other experiences into some of our game worlds. The other thing it did is by aggregating some more of that capability, it really turned us into a one-stop shop. Because we can create in-house immersive experiences, and we have these very innovative immersive media products, we can also create other types of compelling, viewable content out of gameplay. It means that when brands are looking for a full activation, you know, for us, we can take the full program down. No middleman, no markups. And then they have one group to liaise with to deliver that full set of campaign objectives. So, you know, the laws of advertising are, you know, with more scale and end-to-end, you should be able to take a disproportionately greater share of advertisers' wallets. So bringing that in instantly bolstered our revenue top line potential, but it also improved our margin profile. And on top of it, you know, what we know that investors want to hear is this was an accretive acquisition out of the gate. And so to us, it really, there was so much synergy, again, small, nimble team, and seemed like a no-brainer. We will continue to look at these small, digestible types of acquisitions because, hey, look, we're in a distressed market, public and private markets. And a hard time to raise money if you're a small private company. And so certainly when we find these like-minded partners where there's all the synergy, the culture fit, and again, you know, the integration was complete in a week. This wasn't a complicated type of acquisition to pull off. We think that that's the kinds of acquisitions that investors should love. This one as well used very little cash, little cash. And it's heavily earn-out based. And so, again, we think we structured in a way that was extremely shareholder-friendly. As far as partnerships go, I think another partnership or, you know, what's happening out there, I was just talking to a reporter yesterday who said, I can't find a lot of people who do what you do. And I said, well, that's right. There aren't. You know, this is a very a category that is bursting in its opportunity, and yet, you know, again, it's very hard to find companies out there that are as seasoned as we have, that have the kind of intelligence and experience of 8 years of working in this emerging space. And so it's not a large ecosystem when you look at the number of players who can deliver these types of programs. And then when you say, well, who can really do it as an end-to-end solution, we're sitting in a very exclusive category. You could argue a category of one. That said, we are excited by companies that we're meeting that are right now creating other types of creator tools and monetization products that are on other platforms, different than ours. In some ways, probably one of the most exciting announcements we had is with a company called LandVault that is Dubai-based, and they really consider themselves to be a digital construction company. And what they're doing a lot specifically in Dubai, but more broadly as well around the world, is working mostly in the tourism space and saying, hey, how do we create in a Web3 environment, which then might have a blockchain component and NFTs and those other additional components, but how do we create a virtual twin of your physical, you know, place like Dubai and encourage people to come visit virtually first to really drive tourism? We love what's on their product roadmap and the capability they have, and it's highly complementary to ours. We're already doing a project called Yas Island in Abu Dhabi, where we are creating a virtual twin of the physical man-made recreational island called Yas Island. So there was tons of synergies there just in the UAE alone. And again, if we put our forces together, both the capability and the technology, we made a decision, why wouldn't we not just go after all of the UAE together? Let's have a bigger GCC strategy for the journey of Web2-3, but also a multiverse strategy, meaning we don't want to just bring you to one or two of these platforms. Let's talk to all the segments of the types of consumers you're trying to reach, and our strategy for you could be that we're going to launch your equivalent virtual twin experience on 6, 7, 8 of these types of platforms, all of which could have different feature sets that really relate to the type of consumer who's using that platform.
Wow. And I want to talk about money. So overall, the whole metaverse, what kind of growing revenue potentials are there? And then I'm going to do a two-part question with this. How are the metaverse experiences being created and monetized?
Yeah. So look, a lot of times if you'll see mega stats on metaverse, you're going to see, billions and trillions of dollars. Now keep in mind a good chunk of that can be related to hardware. Again, these physical sure. goggles or headsets. We right now operate in worlds that don't require that. That's how we have 100 million plus unique users, because That's we're crazy. Focused on places that are very accessible and affordable. And again, I just can't reiterate enough, where people already are. The audience is there. So, we're not hoping to drive people there. They're already existing and playing in these 2D worlds, and now we've just built a set of tools on top of it that enable brands to connect to those already existing built-in audiences. What we focus on right now is the fact that the category that's really exploding is the opportunity for more what we call immersive experiences and advertising channels inside. So you could call that metaverse advertising, but again, the problem with using that term metaverse is that depending on where you're thinking about the spectrum we're talking about, mm-hmm. you could be way out in Meadowland, right? And so sure. we want to bring you right back to the here and now. So $46 billion is the amount of money advertisers are expected to spend on just what we're going to call this existing marketing channel of these existing immersive worlds or virtual worlds where people already are today. And again, I'll just keep reiterating, wow. we're talking about the here and now. So it's the Robloxes, it's the Minecrafts, it's the Fortnites, Sandbox, and others. So that's the opportunity set. And Super League right now, if you look at our revenues from last year, in 2020 we did about $2 million in revenues. We've always been, a very pre-revenue growth stock, but we did take a leap to about $11 million in 2021, and then last year we did about $20 million. So investors wow. like step change growth that we're bringing. And if you look at the shape of how we delivered the revenue last year, still about 80% of it is from what I'll call these more traditional advertising campaigns, these temporal type campaigns. It's Barbie running a 30-day program. It's Samsung asking us to support bringing a pop concert to life in one of our worlds and creating a broadcast stream for it so that the people who play Roblox could watch the pop concert, but also the people who don't play Roblox could still watch that virtual, cool kind of metaverse concert experience. It's Universal promoting new family-friendly movies like Minions and The Bad Guys. So it's countless amounts of campaigns, right? And then campaigns can be anywhere from 2 days to 2 months. But they're still temporal sure. in nature, as I said. It's advertising, right? Where our business model is shifting is once an advertiser gets a taste of dipping their toe into this new marketing channel, what tends to happen is they want it to now become a fixed part of their marketing strategy. So if you look at like our investor Paramount or like the Universal example, we do a lot with Paramount around Nickelodeon, MTV, Sony's one of our investors. We do a lot with Sony Pictures. When you add up the kind of money they're spending with us over the course of last year, they're spending well over $1 million with us, but it's broken into these separate campaigns. Well, the conversation then starts to shift where you say, well, wait a minute, should SpongeBob or Nickelodeon just pop up for a month in one of these worlds, or should it really be a persistent channel for them? I mean, SpongeBob and Barbie don't just turn on their Instagram account for 1 month a year. It lives all year as a permanent channel. It's a permanent virtual billboard. And so what's changing in the nature of our company is it allows us to then go back to the brand and say, why don't we leave a permanent virtual experience up or billboard up all year long, and we can rotate it out based on your campaigns and different offerings. But it's really just needs to be a way that you reach audiences, no different than having other social media accounts. Why that changes the company then is it means that instead of us having these classic bursts of revenue that are inevitably heavily Q4 dependent with a lot of seasonality, and that, you know, for investors doesn't give, you know, what they like is they like revenues that are easier to forecast, that are recurring or smooth in nature. And so as we move to something that is more persistent, we don't look like an ad model so much anymore. We almost look like an enterprise solution. And that's an exciting thing for us to smooth those revenues out, have more predictability to them. And inevitably, if you're going to pay us for 12 months to run a channel for you versus 30 days to run a pop-up channel for you, it also means that our revenue sizes are going to get bigger by brand and partners. So last year, average deal size in our pipeline about $300,000-$350,000. A year earlier, I would have said average deal size about $50,000-$75,000. If we're running a persistent channel for a brand over the course of the year, that's a $2 to $3 million program.
Wow. Folks, you've been listening to Ms. Ann Hand. She is the CEO, president, and chair of the board for Super League Gaming. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol SLGG. I'm going to ask you to wrap it up in a minute, Ann, and we're going to have you back on the podcast soon. But before we do that, where do you see the future of the metaverse, and how does your company fit into that?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty excited about Apple's announcement yesterday, and I'll tell you why. I think that, you know, we're so rooted in helping brands and investors understand the aspects of the, you know, immersive web, again, as we like to call it, or web 2.5, that exists right now, and not have them be so intimidated by the extreme web 3 on that continuum I started with, you know, that Meta has been talking about so much. And look, I'll be honest, it doesn't feel comfortable to me, this notion that one day I'm going to live in a world that's 100% immersive, living in a set of virtual headsets or goggles. That's not, to me, the way I think I want to live, frankly. But what I think Apple did yesterday, and I'm grateful because they really helped the Super League story and understanding, is they showed that you could actually, there's a different way. And the different way, if you saw any of the video recap, and I encourage you to watch it if you didn't, is they showed that with their goggles, which is still goggles, I mean, I don't want to wear them, but, you know, other people might. But the goggles you can see in real life. And then it's got a layer of a immersive experience on top of it. But it's a hybrid world. It's a world of the blending of your in real life and your digital self. And the reality is that is exactly how these younger folks, this Gen Z, Gen Alpha, that's how they think, because they create their digital avatar, they have their physical self, and they see them as the same people, and they live what we call like a blended or digital life. And I think Apple just showed that there is a different way into this that blends those things, but equally has that in real life component. And I think they just allowed Metaverse and 3D, you know, Web 3.0 to just finally have a transition or a step that actually is much more digestible and frankly just not so intimidating or off-putting to a lot of, you know, folks out there. So we're super excited. They're still very expensive headsets, so we've got a long ways to go. And again, who knows how much people will want to adopt that hybrid life. But again, it just shows there is a different path or way to take these technologies and integrate them into real lives in a way that is less overwhelming.
And it has been an absolute pleasure sitting down with you today. I'll tell you what, we're about out of time for today, but it sounds like we're going to have a lot to talk about as your company keeps expanding within the metaverse. Why don't you give our listeners a closing statement? What do you want them to take away from today's interview?
Well, I want them to take away the fact that right now there is a ton of value that is being left on the table just with the current stage we're in of, again, what we call the immersive web. Don't let the word metaverse or even the word gaming get in your way. Again, think of it as this next extension, this natural growth that's already happened, evolution of digital online social engagement and creation. And with that, I think that when you look at Super League and you look at the opportunity, you'll see that, you know, in our opinion, we are a growth stock right now at a very reasonable price. We've survived like the toughest valley of being microcap, and in some ways we stripped 35% of our cost out. We're a leaner, smarter company, still delivering that top line growth. We're just super excited that if we just keep executing the way we have, that we'll start to see a share price that we think really reflects not just what we've created and built today, but again, this multiverse, bigger vision for growth as we become a leading company in helping enterprises out there really find a new way to express their dot-com strategy in general.
You've been listening to Kevin Davis interviewing Ann Hand. She is the CEO, president, and chair of the board for Super League Gaming. Check them out on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol SLGG. Also, everyone at home, go to superleague.com and check out that website. Thank you so much, Ann, for joining us.
Thank you.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.